The Christian Science Church is fighting for its survival. The church, one of only a handful of indigenous American religions, has suffered a dramatic drop in membership in recent decades. Now, top officials in the church are questioning its traditions, and that's sparking a revolt among some Christian scientists who say a few church leaders are hijacking their religion. NPR's Barbara Bradley Haggerty reports.
On this hot, sticky afternoon, hundreds of children and their parents gather outside the Christian Science Church headquarters in Boston. Not for religion, but for summer solstice, a church-sponsored festival complete with clowns, free hot dogs, and best of all, a spectacular fountain to play in. Summer solstice is one of many recent attempts by the church to reach out to the community and hone its image, an image that's a little fuzzy in the minds of the parents here.
Yes, I know that they subscribe to not seeing physicians when ill, that God will provide what he wishes.
It seems more like a, you know, to be blunt, a cult.
I didn't know Christian Science was a religion.
No doctors, secrecy, no name recognition. Those impressions pretty much sum up the challenges facing the 120-year-old Christian Science Church. And the challenges are significant. Over the past quarter century, a third of the churches have closed their doors. The average Christian Scientist is female and elderly. Perhaps most daunting of all, says Stephen Semerda, a professor at the University of Massachusetts, this is a tough religion to practice.
It's a rigorous faith. It's a faith that asks its adherents to more or less shun alcohol, tobacco, caffeine even, medical care in traditional ways, and to replace them with prayer. So the church has become a bit anachronistic in the modern age.
Virginia Harris doesn't look at it that way. The chairman of the board of directors for the church believes Christian Science is on the verge of a comeback. The seeds of change were planted in 1992 when Harris became the chairman. She and the four other board members went on a retreat with nothing more than the church manual, or constitution, written by Mary Baker Eddy.
We asked ourselves the basic question, what if Mary Baker Eddy, the founder of this church, handed us the church manual and said, here, I want you to build a church. What would we do?
She says the answer was plain.
We had to strip away what existed. We had to strip away the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Beginning with its image. Standing in a bustling Christian Science reading room, church official Evan Mellenbacher says the church is bringing its message of spiritual healing to the public square. That message is that Christian Science is not, quote, just a religion, but a system of mind healing, divine laws that anybody can put into practice.
When you strip away religion and institutionalism from Christian Science, you begin to see that it's not hard at all. And that there aren't these rules that you have to follow, like whether to go to the doctor or not, that's totally up to you as a seeker.
Indeed, the spiritual seeker is at the center of the church's comeback plans. And with good reason. According to polls, 3 out of 4 Americans say they are on a spiritual search, and millions are using alternative methods of healing. And so the church has begun participating in secular mind-body healing conferences around the country. It sells its textbook, Science and Health, at New Age book fairs. Its website, spirituality.com, has become a virtual church for seekers, though it's mighty hard to find anything about the Christian Science Church per se. And the crown jewel in the church's efforts is the $50 million Mary Baker Eddy Library for the Betterment of Humanity, which opened last year.
Okay, so we're standing in the Quest Gallery.
Chet Manchester is the creative director for the library. The sleek room is dominated not by books, but by a video screen, where people look out from the monitor and describe their spiritual journeys.
I think at the heart of my own spiritual quest is a deep longing for love.
You know, what we have in common as human beings in terms of that desire to know why we're here, you know, what life is about and so forth. And then we move on to the story of one woman's life, which was really about asking those fundamental questions about life.
That woman, of course, is Mary Baker Eddy. As a reenactment of her life rolls on video, the spiritual seeker finds in Eddy someone who is ahead of her time and relevant today, a feminist, author, founder of a church and of a Pulitzer Prize-winning newspaper, the Christian Science Monitor. The exhibit embodies the church's new recruiting methods, trying to lead a spiritual seeker from his cosmic questions about life to an interest in the specific theology of Christian Science. Catherine Colas is a poster child for that approach. A student at Harvard Divinity School, for years Colas practiced massage therapy, herbology, finally moving to the Deepak Chopra Center to practice a form of Indian healing called Ayurvedic medicine. Then someone gave her a copy of Science and Health.
And when I picked up Science and Health, I thought, great, book by a very famous 19th century healer. This woman healed through presence alone. People would just come and sit with her and be healed. I thought, great, I'm going to learn, you know, some key points here that I can then add on to my Ayurvedic practice, right? And this is going to make me a better healer.
But eventually she settled on Christian Science healing. Colas says for the first year she didn't know Christian Science was connected to a church, and she doesn't feel much obligation to become a member.
No, none. And it could be because of who I am personally, but there's no pressure. There's no sense that I have to join, and I have not joined to this point.
Which raises a question. Will these spiritual seekers settle into the Christian Science pews, or will they move on in a perpetual search? Virginia Harris says the number of new members has increased by more than 3% a year for the past 4 years, though she won't say how many people that represents. Anyway, Harris says, it doesn't really matter if people join the church.
Mary Baker Eddy wrote Science and Health before there was a church, and she gave this book to the world. She dedicated it to honest seekers for truth, not to church members. And we're delighted when a Catholic or a Muslim or a Jew or a Baptist reads this book, takes it back into wherever they are on their journey, and practices it.
It's one approach for a church trying to rebuild itself, and not everyone believes it will work. Sitting in his high-rise apartment overlooking the Christian Science Center, former church president Kurt Stark says the church is rubbing out what makes it distinctive and worth believing.
We sure want to have also a dialogue with other people, but you have to be true to yourself. I mean, it's a kind of dishonesty, or you're sailing under a false flag into a harbor, trying to conquer the harbor, and suddenly you show people, discover, well, what are you really? And I don't think this lack of integrity makes for friends or makes for success.
Many church sociologists would agree. They say people are attracted to churches that make their style hip and relevant and still maintain distinct doctrine. For example, evangelical churches serve up rock and roll and conservative theology, and they're prospering. But experts say churches that mold their doctrine to accommodate culture, such as many liberal mainline churches, are hemorrhaging members. Tucked in the rolling hills of Maine, the town of Camden breathes an affluent tranquility. But a theological storm has been brewing for some time now, in the local church here and in churches across the country. Gertrude Harper, a Christian Science practitioner or healer, welcomes the new approach by Boston headquarters. For far too long, she says, Christian scientists have kept to themselves.
We were afraid to let people know we were Christian scientists. I mean, people made, you know, oh, you were a Christian scientist. What would happen if you were run over by a train or whatever? And I think people got a bit sensitive to that, and so they hid it.
But many loyal Christian scientists disagree, including fellow church member Elizabeth Kidder. Kidder, another Christian Science practitioner in Camden, says the board is jettisoning fundamental theology, namely the belief that true healing depends on Christ-centered prayer, not on medicine. Kidder says Mary Baker Eddy never criticized people for going to doctors, but Eddy was also clear that healing in Christian Science comes through, quote, radical reliance on God.
Those of us who are complaining are begging management to stay true to the core doctrine, and that is not happening. I would rather see us not have Christian Science at all than to do it wrong or to profess it wrongly.
So deep is the split within this and other churches that some members want to pass a motion to be ever loyal to the board of directors. Graham Faup, the former spokesman for the church in Britain, says in order to attract new seekers, the church is draining Christian Science of its true nature, starting with its Judeo-Christian underpinnings.
And at some point, if you pick up the Christian Science textbook, you're going to come to them. So it's not a point of somehow just taking the bits that you feel comfortable with and leaving behind the Christian part. Christianity is the heart and soul of it.
Phelps says things began falling apart, theologically speaking, in 1991. That was when the board of directors decided to publish what had long been considered a heretical book, a book that claimed that Mary Baker Eddy had godlike powers and was one of the two anointed witnesses, the other being Jesus Christ. 12 years ago, the board decided to publish the book in exchange for a $100 million bequest from the author's family. Many thought that theological lapse was a one-time event, a money deal. But in December 1999, the Christian Science Journal, which is essentially the official organ of church doctrine, published a letter by the board of directors that seemed to condone mixing Christian Science treatment and conventional medical treatment.
It wasn't even recognizable as Christian Science.
Camille McCusick is a Christian Science practitioner in Maine.
It said, basically, we're just like everybody else. We sometimes turn to prayer, we sometimes turn to medicine, we sometimes mix the two, and this simply is not Christian Science.
Other changes have followed. For example, a recent journal article suggested that people who smoke and drink, long a taboo in Christian Science, may join the church. And, just in time, this month, Val Kilmer, an actor and reader in his local church in Santa Fe, New Mexico, told InStyle magazine that one restaurant wanted to name his favorite margarita after him, but, quote, I couldn't choose just one. Now, there's not much that Christian Scientists can do to stop these changes. The five members on the board of directors can stay at the helm for as long as they like, and they appoint their own successors. But disgruntled members can confront the board, and last year, a Christian Science teacher, one of the elders of the church, documented all the ways she saw the board straying from church teachings. It took 600 pages. The teacher, who declined to be interviewed, sent the document to the board. A few months later, she was given an appointment. She brought a witness, another teacher, Joseph Eller.
They invited us in, and we did assume that the meeting would be a give-and-take session.
But instead, he says, the board members each read from a prepared statement and said they found no merit in the complaint.
At the end of this session, which lasted, I think, about 45 minutes, one of the board members delivered what amounted to a threat were we to take this to the broader church membership. And with that, we left.
The threat was to remove their names from church rolls as certified Christian Science teachers and healers and essentially cut off their livelihood. Ultimately, the board did just that. In the meantime, dozens of teachers and practitioners, some of the most senior theologians in the church, wrote the board in support of the views expressed in the document. Among them were Camille McCusick and her husband. Both are practitioners who have no other source of income, and they knew they were taking a risk. The board responded by threatening to punish or excommunicate the dissidents. Then it sent two representatives to meet with every signer. McCusick says it felt like an inquisition.
You received the letter in the mail that said there's a complaint against you. That was the surprise. But following on that, within 2 days, a phone call that said representatives of the board of directors want to meet with you immediately. I mean immediately.
But in the end, none of the dissenters was punished. Virginia Harris says she cannot comment on internal board business, but she's adamant that Mary Baker Eddy's theology as defined in Science and Health will remain the core of Christian Science. And church sociologist Leonard Sweet at Drew University says there's nothing new about a church tweaking its beliefs.
What they're doing is no different than what Methodists have done with John Wesley, what Lutherans have done with Martin Luther, what Presbyterians have done with John Calvin. They are taking the original teachings of their founder and making them relevant to the world in which they live.
Sweet says the Christian Science Church is charting new waters, testing whether a major denomination can become a sort of Starbucks religion, where people gather not in churches but in coffee shops to discuss the ideas of Christian Science. That's precisely what many Christian Scientists fear. Rumors are rampant that the board hopes that all local churches will close in the next 15 to 20 years. The church vigorously denies that. But when asked about her vision for the church, Virginia Harris seems to choose her words carefully.
I see in 20 years Christian Science being a very
key component of the public dialogue around the world. And because of that, I would hope that the institution that's charged with making that available, the Church of Christ Scientists, would be a vital institution.
Which leaves the question, what exactly will that institution look like? And will the church that pointed out the mind-body connection long before most doctors did survive another century? Barbara Bradley Haggerty, NPR News.